You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. Welcome to KoopaCast number 67, Uncharted Territory. I'm your host, as always, Matt Paxton, the multimedia manager behind PNM and PureNintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. Tonight, joining me are two people, Tristan Myman.
Hello.
And the long-awaited return of James Higginbotham.
Could this be a bro-cast?
Woo! Yeah, that's right. Sick bro-cast, brah. Here, Matt, pop your collar. Twist your hat a little.
All right.
Do it.
My hat's already twisted.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, anyone. Okay, James, now you. Pop your collar. Perfect. Nail it.
Okay, I'm done doing that.
All right, broskies, what we're going to talk about today is the...
Forget that. Talk about the new Call of Duty, brah.
We will talk about a shooter, but it won't be Call of Duty. We'll be talking about Splatoon. But not just yet, because we have to talk about the other ways Nintendo has been branching out into different territories over the past year or so. It all kind of began in October 2014 when Nintendo announced that it's going to be breaking into a new medium, this quality of life thing. Now, it's going to be separated from their dedicated gaming hardware and software. There might be some integration, but it's definitely going to be its own thing, according to, you know, the press conferences and interviews and whatnot. That was the first thing. Skip ahead a few months later, and we find out that Nintendo made a deal with Japanese mobile producer DNA, and it's a joint venture, I believe. I believe Nintendo bought some of DNA's shares, and DNA likewise bought some of Nintendo shares, so they're in it together now, and they will be pushing Nintendo software onto mobile devices, which is definitely a move that nobody saw, like not even Iwata. Like, if you guys remember prior to that, there's always calls on for people to go, hey, Nintendo should publish smartphones. Wouldn't you want to play Mario on your iPhone or whatever, you know? And Iwata was very adamant, no, we're not going to do that. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, you know, flipping a switch with these guys. And then not long after that, we just heard it. Nintendo is, you know, teaming up with Universal Studios to create these Nintendo-themed attractions at all their parks. So the Orlando Park, the Singapore, the Japan Park, you know, all those. We don't have any more details on it quite yet. But, you know, well, of course, we'll get them as soon as we can. But this is definitely, you know, something completely different from a company that has very historically kept to themselves. So I just wanted to see what everybody's thinking is. Like, did you guys have any theories on, you know, what's prompting Nintendo to make these kinds of changes? Like, these kinds of, like, adventurous forays into new grounds?
I say when the Nintendo theme park opens up, we all take a team build trip.
All right. Depends on what kind of rides there are. Could be some good roller coasters.
You're questioning that? Wait, what'd you say about roller coasters?
Could be some good roller coasters.
There could be. I'd be totally down for that.
I'll be disappointed if they don't have a go-kart track.
I will be very disappointed. Like, if it's like bumper cars, it's going to be lame, but if it's like a mixture of that and like Mario Kart style, then yeah, I'd be totally down for that.
Well, Nintendo likes to do the family theme thing, so could be bumper cars.
Yeah. Dude, I feel like you could easily do something along those lines. you just gotta have like enough wealth, money, and they got plenty of it. So
yeah,
I don't think there's a point with it. I think if they're gonna go, if they're gonna like make some kind of theme thing, it's not gonna be just like it's not gonna be something lame. There's obviously gonna be like a lot of thought and care put into it.
Yeah, Nintendo's not like one to, you know, put like half effort into something, especially when it comes to lending out their characters and their IP with other into other studios.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like with Universal Nintendo, there's going to be like a good amount of Nintendo representatives making, you know, weekly visits or whatever to make sure that everything's on track and that Nintendo is using their IP the way, or that Universal, sorry, that Universal is using the IP the way that Nintendo wants.
Yeah.
So yeah, like Tristan, like, did you see this coming with Nintendo at all? Do you think this is like the right thing that Nintendo should do, or do you think they should just stick to what they know best?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily a good or bad thing, but it was definitely something I wasn't expecting. As you said earlier, Nintendo was really never someone to like really jump out and be like, hey guys, remember us, or you know, really get all flashy with their stuff. Like when I remember hearing they were making like a presence at even Comic-Con, you know, showing off Smash Brothers, even then I was like, wow, they're actually going out of the way to do stuff rather than just kind of sitting in the background. They decided to, you know, get up off the chair like everyone else is and kind of get more interactive with the audience. So I think something like this is welcomed, and I'm definitely interested to see the direction it goes.
All right, James?
I guess going back to your question of why they're doing it, it all comes down to money. And probably the struggles with the Wii U is probably the greatest thing that ever happened to Nintendo, in a sense that for 20 years they've been riding on their games and their success. So they hit some struggle, so they sat back and was like, so what are our strengths? And it's their IPs, their brand. And so they decided, well, let's use our brand and reach out to more of the public, and how we can make more money for our brand is by giving you a brand. Like, has anyone seen the show Silicon Valley on HBO?
Heard of it.
I've heard of it.
It's a great show. But
oh, okay. I've been meaning to check it out.
Not to get into it too much, but basically they're making this compression program that compresses files very small. So it's really nothing like super, like, it's not like an iWatch or something cool to buy. But they met up with this rich guy who wants to just basically promote their brand. They're called, what is the brand called? I forgot what the company name is, but they just want to promote the company just to make them look cool.
Right.
And that's, they also had it as a joke in the show, but in a sense, that's what companies need to do. They need to sell a brand, not necessarily their product. And Nintendo has all Mario, Donkey Kong, Zelda. They have all this brand that they've been kind of keeping to themselves. Now, like, I don't know what the deal with Universal, but it's probably most likely just exchange of money, I'm assuming. Like, Universal's like, hey, you give us, we'll give you $100 million or whatever if we can build Nintendo theme rides. All right, we just made $100 million.
Moving on.
If those rumors ever came true of the Zelda Netflix, same type of deal. It's like, hey, we'll give you $100 million if we can make a Zelda movie on Netflix. All right. $100 million richer, moving on.
Right, but Nintendo's been usually very, very reserved, I guess. The better word, of course, is protective with their IPs. So just to kind of see them redistributing it out like this.
I think it's the struggle with the Wii. Like, I can probably see that they actually sat back and like, okay, our games are struggling a little bit. We can't live off our games anymore. What can we live off of? And what do they have besides games is brand awareness and their IPs and their icons.
And Amiibos.
Speaks to their brand awareness, really.
Exactly.
Really.
Because I have a theory that I don't think Amiibos was supposed to be this big. I think they've always had the idea of Amiibos, but I think it was supposed to be just a few characters.
Yeah.
And they realized that, holy crap, we can probably make a ton of money. And we need to make a ton of money, so let's make, I don't know, 30, 40, whatever Amiibos are on now.
Yeah, let's only make a small amount of them, though, and like that will be released in stores, release a public apology, and then release more of them.
Mm-hmm. Because they probably wouldn't cost like 20 cents to make, and they sell them for what?
It's $4. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't own a single one, and I probably don't plan on owning a single one. But I can definitely appreciate, a smart business move when I see one.
Exactly.
Now, if I remember right, they didn't release their Amiibo sales figures, did they?
Not this last round, no. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Is there like a reason they're kind of withholding that, or is it just that it hasn't built up enough for them to be able to release a financial report?
They did last time. I don't know why they did this time. I think last time it was at 5 million. That was soon after the release.
All right, but
They're doing great for themselves.
James, do you think the DNA announcement was along the same vein as the Universal one, where you were saying that that's the IP, it's the IPs that really help out, and that's what's gonna
Yeah, it was another.
help make DNA's 25 million monthly quota?
That was pretty. Yeah, it's another avenue. I'm curious exactly what they're gonna do with DNA. If it's actually if it's the Nintendo games we expect, or is it gonna be a different brand of Nintendo games? If that makes sense.
The interviews I've read, or the interviews and the articles, they all seem to hint that we're not going to see what people really kind of want, which is, or not want, but expect, which is Super Mario World on your smartphone, or
Yeah.
Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past on your smartphone. It's not going
Yeah.
to be like that.
Yeah, they said they're gonna be different games, but is it gonna be like a different 2D like Mario game, or is it not even gonna be Mario at all? Could it be just a weird hybrid of
Like a
Nintendo?
Kirby Flappy Bird thing.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know if it'd be that bad. I don't think it'll be like a Flappy Bird kind of thing, but I do think it will be stuff like, that's more suited to touchpad screens, that or the just the iPhone. So it's gonna be that's gonna be the experience that you're gonna get on the smartphone, and you're not gonna be able to get it on the consoles. And I think they're gonna really try to keep that separate.
Right.
Or in another case, like if you guys remember that DNA press announcement, they had that web of, consoles. Like there's the Wii U, there's the 3DS, here's the NX up here, which is again something that we're all very confused about why it's there next to the Wii U and the 3DS.
Yeah.
And then of course it's got the PC, it's got the and then it's got the mobile devices like right down here, here. So, I mean, that could also point to like a hopefully like a very a nebulous s service that covers all these platforms that Nintendo's going to exist on, and they're going to find something that like connects all three of them. Like, do you guys remember what Grand Theft Auto 5, is it 4 or 5, that came up with the what was it, like the car license plate or dog or something like that?
The what?
Shoot, I can't remember now. Like, it's a great example in my head, but I can't get it, like I can't form the picture completely.
I think five has if you're talking about like an iPhone integration or a smartphone integration.
Oh yeah.
Which got like that little customized thing that you
Yeah.
can. Okay, so it's 5.
Maybe four, but I know it doesn't five.
I know. I haven't played Grand Theft Auto since Vice City, and even then, I didn't actually play the game. I just screwed around on the world.
I think I'm just confused because GTA 5 just re-released, and it's like everyone's acting like it's new.
Yeah, oh yeah, dude. Yeah, they pretty much have.
But yeah, that's kind of what I see Nintendo's direction going with. Something like the GTA 5
We're going on that
smartphone.
global web of integration. I think people are forgetting, because I haven't seen anyone talk about this yet, that DNA is also making their digital, I don't know what to call it. Basically, it's replacing Club Nintendo, but it's going to be a way to tie everything together. So it can also, it's like an online. Like to me, it sounded like a Xbox Gold membership almost. Not that you pay for it, but you log in and you have your different accounts everywhere. Maybe even replace Nintendo network IDs in the future. Who knows? Because that's what apparently DNA is also known for, to have that kind of like global hub people can log into, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I could see that, where they're creating like a global ID, and that's also something people have been asking for, is to have an account that they can keep track of everywhere.
Because DNA can help Nintendo tie in their 3DS and Wii U to the mobile system. So they have one universal account. So wherever you log in, it brings your avatar or your profile with you.
Yeah, and in some way to like if I'm at work or something, And then on Thursday, and I realized, oh man, they released, like, let's say Chrono Trigger on the Wii U Virtual Console. I can go ahead and download it and have it, you know, by the time I get back to my apartment, it's already ready to go, and I can just boot it up and start playing. Yeah. I like the convenience of, you know, quick paying and things like that.
James was literally talking to me about that 2 days ago, I think.
Oh yeah.
Oh, so yeah.
A certain game came in, and James messaged me and said, I've not in any time in my life have I wanted to be able to download something remotely more. But he was, like, really, like, adamant about it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, oh, because, yeah, because I did. I got home, and it took, like, an hour to download and install, and yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Because I don't think we can talk about it.
A very traumatic experience, sounds like.
Dude, I know. I totally know the feeling, especially when you get a code of something that you've been so excited for. And the worst part is it kind of makes me feel like we've become, in our day and age, such impatient people that we literally can't wait 10 to 25 minutes or something for something to download, for something that's going to give us like many hours of enjoyment that, you know, our excitement gets the better of us. Of course, I'm being a total hypocrite right now because, when I got, like, Smash Brothers or something, you know, I was yelling at my 3DS, hurry up already! I just want to play. I'm so excited.
Oh, but, yeah. I have no problems admitting that I'm a very impatient person nowadays.
Yeah. But I think that's also the beauty of the preloading feature that a lot of games have been doing nowadays, like, where you can just go ahead and pay for the game. It'll be preloaded onto your console, so then all you have to do is a small, like, one-minute update, and then, bam, the game is ready to be played.
I don't know if that's better or worse.
I don't really like doing it because, one, I prefer physical copies of games. Because if I had the digital copy and I had that little tile on my screen there, I'd be poking it over and over again going, maybe if I do it long enough, it'll start playing.
Maybe if I unplug my Wii and plug it back in real quick.
Then give it a quick power cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I can trick the system. Maybe I can change the internal clock on my Wii U and trick it.
If I've learned anything, it's power cycling solves every problem.
Oh, it does. It's literally the equivalent of turning it off and on again.
That's a very good way of putting that. But I feel like we're getting off topic just a little bit. We were kind of talking about, you know, Nintendo's new forays. We talked about DNA. We've talked about quality of life in, I don't know, countless podcasts.
Well, two things about that. First of all, I don't think it exists anymore.
What, quality of life?
Really? Because they seem very serious about that. Because that wasn't like a big announcement. That was like an investor's
name. I'm joking. It still exists. But
okay.
It kind of feels like the vitality sensor. Look at this. And we never heard about it ever again.
Maybe that became quality of life. It just expanded. You don't, yeah, I mean, you don't know. Could be there.
I think Nintendo is able to take the time with the quality of life because it's not video game based. So there's really no huge rush to get it out. I think that's one reason they've been quiet about it for a long time.
It must be whatever it is, just a risky move, kind of something they're really not – there's some confidence to it, but they're just not 100% if it's going to be well received.
Well, I guess here's the thing with Nintendo branching out. Like, if you look at their competition, Sony and Microsoft, what do they have that Nintendo doesn't?
More powerful consoles. That's one thing.
Well, I don't mean video game wise. I mean as a company.
They do everything else that's not video game related. Like Nintendo's strictly a video game company, while exactly. Sony and Microsoft do everything else.
Exactly. You know, so if Sony Entertainment, whatever is struggling a little bit. It's not. It's a deal, but it's not a huge deal because you have Sony Electronics and all the other Sony. Like it's not Sony Entertainment. Also covers the movies. The video game section is struggling.
Yeah.
Movies, you have their television people buy, their tablets. Same thing with Microsoft. Nintendo's whole existence was just their consoles. So if a console struggled, they struggled. Now they have Amiibo, they have whatever the quality of life is, they have their phone, they have Universal, they've got possible, they do movies, TV shows, they have more to their existence than just games. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, you actually, like, that kind of brought up a good point when you were talking about what else Microsoft and Sony do. And that Sony and Microsoft, I mean, they don't, not everything's video game related, but it's all, like, media or it's all electronics.
Exactly.
And then Nintendo's like, yeah, we're going to do video games. Oh, also, we're going to do all this health stuff over here. And it's like this complete left field, like completely unrelated. I mean, there are wires and microchips going on in the quality of life, but like it's almost completely like unrelated to gaming or entertainment or anything like that. I mean, as far as we know, of course.
Right.
I'm kind of speculating here, but it's just like it's the tone of the quality of life announcement tells me that it's like we're still going to do gaming, but we're going to have a complete other division that's going to take care of this totally other thing, you know. So it just kind of that's what's interesting to me. It's like it's not like Nintendo's coming out with their own brand of TVs or they're going to have their own movie division, which I would be very interested and I would love to see what would happen with that.
Yeah.
They're doing a pretty good job with their YouTube announcements, their E3 one. They can make a movie of that. But yeah, going back, it's just kind of what all of a sudden, like they prompted them to get into this health thing, which was still kind of surprising. Yeah, there were some kind of hints with the Wii Fit and Wii Fit U, but it's like, I mean, quality of life? Never would have thought of that.
Well, the healthy fad is huge right now. And I think it's even huge, bigger in Japan.
Oh, yeah, like eat more organic and everything like that.
Yeah, like even the, you know, Apple went that way, Android, Samsung went that way. They all had built in, like, step counters and what you can put in your calories. They're already built into the phone. They're not. They're integrated apps. Hmm. So a lot of these companies are going that healthy direction because that's what people are doing now.
No, that's all right. We're not gonna do health stuff, are we?
Yeah, of course.
No.
The Nintendo.
Cake is now healthy. There, according to Pure Nintendo, cake is now healthy.
I mean, pizza's a vegetable, so who knows?
It's got vegetables in it. It's got dairy, bread.
It's practically a salad.
No, totally. Just a nice, hot, greasy salad.
Built upon a nest of croutons.
Yeah, exactly. When you really look at it like that, is it really that bad?
Not at all.
No.
And really, pizza's cooked because we evolved to cook foods, or cook foods help us evolve.
Exactly. I mean, I could go for a nice slice of salad right now. Just saying.
All I know is I'm no caveman.
There you go.
I feel like we should just end the podcast on that.
Yeah, and with that said, good night, everyone.
We start with quality of life. We end on a tirade about pizzas.
Does it mean salads?
Pizzas and salad, yeah.
Yeah.
The great pizza salad debate. Maybe that'll be one of the Splatfests in Splatoon.
I'm sorry?
Maybe that will be one of the Splatfests in Splatoon. Pizzas versus salads.
Oh, yeah, there we go. That's what we can name your teams.
Mm-hmm. So what did you think of Splatoon, Tristan?
I had an absolute blast with it. I was actually really impressed how well the servers did. Because I at first thought that everyone is going to be jumping on this all at once. It is going to crash. They should have given us more than an hour, which I still stand by they should have. I feel like it should have been something like the Rayman Legends app, which you know stayed open until the game's release, I believe. But from the hour that I had playing it, I had an absolute blast. I loved how each weapon had its own strengths and weaknesses, how the paint roller thing was it covered a lot of ground. And it killed enemies about one hit, but it just leaves your defenses completely gone. And my least favorite was definitely the, I guess you want to call it the makeshift sniper rifle thingy, the charger. Yeah, I was not a fan of that one. I tried it and I actually didn't get a single kill or splat, if you want to call it that.
I figured it out once I like realized the range was so much shorter than you're used to in any kind of shooter.
Yeah.
Like I wrote it up in my feature article I did about looking at Splatoon multiplayer.
Yeah.
That the chart, like, when you're playing, like, an FPS game, and you pick up a sniper rifle, you're going to get into a building in the far corner of the map and just start, you know, start taking people down. With the charger in Splatoon, you have to still be right in the action. And you're completely exposed that way. You're not as maneuverable as, like, the other shooters are or even the roller is once you start charging that thing up.
Yeah. If anything, it's like a short range, like straight, like just a very like linear shotgun almost. Like it's not going to spread out, but you have to get like real close.
It's like a shotgun if it's nothing like a shot. It's yeah, like a it's shotgun, like, but yeah, nothing like a shotgun.
It was absolutely nothing like a shotgun at all.
It's like you're going in there with a super soaker and everybody else has an actual gun.
There you go.
That's the best way I can equate it. Because like everyone else, because you think about it, everyone else is shooting and like having a fun time. And you're like, oh, hang on, guys, I gotta charge it up. And
aha, now you're inconveniently wet. I put ice cubes in it. I bet you're pretty cold right now.
Bam. But so I'm guessing you did not agree that the roller was the was overpowered.
No, because there's a perfectly balance with it. Again, it kills easily, but you can easily be killed yourself. But then again, that was the thing I noticed about playing the game is that, like, while you do want to narrow, you know, take down the enemy by splatting them, your goal is not even that. Your goal is just to, you know, paint the town whatever color of team you were on.
That's very true. I actually found the roller the easiest one to, like, control than all of the other
games. Yeah?
Like, you didn't have to use the gyro motion at all. You can just kind of set your pad down and use the right analog stick, and that'll do the job just fine.
Oh, I didn't even use the gyro controls. I immediately turned those off.
Oh, did you?
Oh, dude, yeah. I was like, when I did the tutorial, I was like, no, please tell me I can turn it off. I'm not doing it. Like, because if it was a first person, that would have been different, but the fact that it's third was just weird.
Really? I thought because it's third person, it's less jarring than a first person gyro control.
But do you get motion sickness easily?
Not with like 60 FPS games. If you give me like a 64 game, like Diddy Kong Racing, if you ever played that, those hovercrafts.
Yeah.
Those are the worst. I have to hold those for like 5 minutes before I go down.
Yeah, I mean, you said the hovercraft, right?
Yeah.
Dude, those are the worst things to control in that entire game. Like, everything else was great, but every time a hovercraft race came out, I was like, no.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
All right, what about the automatics? Did you have any trouble with those?
No, actually, what was it? Was it Splatterhouse Jr. and Splatterhouse?
Yeah, I don't think it's Splatterhouse. I think Splatterhouse is a movie.
Yeah, I think so.
Splattershot is what you're looking for.
There we go. Yeah, the Splattershot. Yeah, I prefer just the regular Splattershot as opposed to Junior. I also preferred its secondary weapon with the paint balloons.
Right.
Actually, that was one thing I also really liked. Was the more paint that you spread, when that little meter fills up, that you have like this little bonus weapon. I thought that was like a neat little add-on. But as much as I do like the turf war aspect, I kind of hope that there are just some where it's more of like, okay, who got the most flats? Kind of team deathmatch style, but I don't know if the multiplayer will have that in the final release.
It could be. I mean, as far as we know, all we know is the regular turf wars and then like the ranked matches and then like take the tower, I think, is one of them.
Yeah. Either way, I can't wait for its game. Like, after playing it, it just made me even more excited for its final release. And I'm glad that it's a global one that's going to, you know, make playing online, you know, everyone, like, it doesn't feel like anyone got like, oh, I got it, you know, sooner, like, only reviewers really, but and it made me confident that I didn't experience really any lag at all when I was playing, so it might actually be a really also enjoyable online experience.
Yeah, that was something I was expecting, was to see, like, to, like, lag out, or, you know, look ahead and see a squid, and he's just, like, walking back like that, walking like that.
Yeah.
There was nothing like that, I think I only had a couple of people like drop out in the middle of the match.
Yeah.
And of course you don't know, and you're just getting your butt kicked, and you don't know why until you find out, oh, one guy has 0 points. Okay.
Yeah. Like, the only time I saw them vanish was, well, when they went in squid form and actually like hit under the paint.
Yeah.
Which I love doing that. That's like a great if I got like, you know, splatted on back of the home base. If I don't want to, you know, do that rocket jump to someone, I can just, you know, squid around to them.
Yeah, that's true. And you can do it anytime you want to. You didn't have to be on the launch pad to rocket jump. What did you think about the shuffling around? Players are just automatically shuffled after every match. You have to change teams, different people on your team.
Oh, I guess I didn't notice that too much, just because I guess I didn't notice it because I didn't, you know, have anyone on that I was playing with online. It's like, oh, I know this person. So I do wonder that if in the final release you can like almost set up some kind of a party so you can't play with friends, or like set up a lobby at least and go, okay, you're gonna be on my team and you're gonna be on their team, you know. So at least there's that, not just like, oh man, I guess I'm not paired with you this time. Hopefully next time.
That was one of the announced features, I believe, was with friends.
Oh, there is? Okay.
It's like your team of four versus the enemy's team of four. Like that guy and their four friends.
Oh, okay.
But
So
I think it's only, I don't know how far you can go with that. I don't know if you can get like a lobby of eight of you and seven other friends and then have a match that way. I'm not sure about that.
hopefully that'll be featured later on. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, what it boils down to, I had a great time and I can't wait to play it when it comes out.
Did you have any issues with like the fact that there's no voice chatting?
That actually didn't bother me because I'm sure you remember when we did our Smash Brothers video, how horrible the voice chat system was in that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I have no quarrels at all, like setting up Skype or or Google Plus or some kind of video chat system, and we just talked on there. I have
Right.
no quarrels with that at all.
But the fact that you have to have a third party
Yeah.
involved to speak to your friends, to
Yeah.
even your friends, I think is a little bit, come on, guys.
Yeah, I could definitely see it. If anything, they could have at least, taken the reception from Smash Brothers chat, the chat system, and then approved upon it. But at the same time, I can see why they didn't. I know exactly why they removed the chat system. I mean, like, I think everyone knows because they wanted to prevent people from like yelling mean, nasty things to one another.
Right. But that's gonna happen. That's the nature of the internet.
Oh, it's gonna happen. Someone will find a way to do something. So.
I thought Halo had a good chat feature, which was like a proximity chat, to where like you're getting closer and the voice will get louder until it's like full volume or whatever,
Yeah.
and then you get away, fade away. I think something like that in Splatoon would have been really nice to see.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think you should have the option to have like you can't have voice chat or you don't want to have voice chat. Either way is fine. Like if you want to be in a room with people who don't have voice, who don't want voice chat, you can do that. But if you want to be in a room with people who want to talk, then you can do that. Like I think that would be a great feature to have.
Hey, who says they can't put it in a patch or something?
Yeah, I have no idea if they can do it or can't do it in a patch. They probably can. I mean, it's 2015. We could probably figure this kind of thing out.
Yeah, we're living in the future, my friend.
Exactly. So, hopefully that's something that will come in the future.
Right.
Let's see, is there anything else about Splatoon? I wish we had more stages to
Yeah, I was getting
look
kind
at.
of tired of playing on the same two stages over and over again.
Did you get a lot of one stage over the other?
Yeah, I did. It was a lot of the wharf one rather than the warehouse.
Okay, you had that. That was the exact same thing. All I got was saltwater saltwater rig, I believe is what it's
Yeah,
called.
I know that stage inside and out now.
Yes, definitely. Like we got that in like the warehouse. I was like, oh right, special stage, because we only got
Yeah,
that like
like a
one
giant
of the 18
crate or
matches.
something.
I mean, did you feel like your strategy was shifting between the stages at all, or did you feel like, yeah, I'm gonna go in gun blazing?
That's actually usually what I did, considering that was like with my weapon of choice, the splatter shot. That was pretty much my strategy overall. Was just, yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm just gonna paint as many open squares as I can find, and then I'm just gonna go at it and try to weaken the team a little, provide support when I can.
I gotcha. Yeah, the teamwork aspect, did you was I thought was really that was really nice. Like I didn't expect Splatoon to be such a teamwork heavy game,
Yeah,
considering
really.
there's no like voice chat or anything like that. It's a lot more of a fun shooter than like say like Battlefront, or sorry, not Battlefront, Battlefield or Call of Duty or anything like that.
Yeah.
Trying to think of what else. I feel like we covered a lot of Splatoon in just like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think it's been 5 minutes, but it feels like it's been like almost an hour. But what about you, James? What did you think? Fantastic. All right, moving on as we conclude this, and James doesn't get to say much.
I don't think James was able. I think I asked him, and I think he could
Oh yeah,
not
were you able
make
to play the
that.
multiplayer, James?
No.
Well, this has been great, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us.
But I do have a question for you guys.
What? I
Hey,
guess you've been talking through this whole thing, man.
Tristan, this is my podcast. No attitude. You need to bring the levels down. You're the reason why we don't have voice chat in Splatoon.
Oh, is it? I'm the sole reason?
Yes.
Well, hey, that's something to be proud of, I guess. I'll mention that on my deathbed.
Anyway, go ahead and what's your question, James?
I guess for Splatoon to be successful, how is the long-lasting playability of it? Like, for me, I will always go back to play Mario Kart, even 3 or 4 years from now. Do you see that with Splatoon?
That's definitely tough to say.
Yeah, it really is.
The 1 hour chunk demos that we've had. I felt like the hour flew by every time we did it, though. Like every time I started up from the beginning, and I had a smile on my face the entire time. I played 2 out of the 3 hours, and I was always disappointed when, you know, things finally got disconnected and we couldn't play it anymore.
Yeah.
So even if, you know, what do I say? I mean, even if you get sick of, like, say the turf wars, you can always do the ranked battles, and they have their own little modes as well. So you can definitely change it up that much. And with all the shuffling around that players are going to do, it definitely feels like the experience is going to stay fresh. And then, of course, we are also going to have, like, extra stages and future DLC, which is free, by the way, which is, you know, a great decision.
Yeah,
that for is. Us, the consumers, you know. I don't know if Nintendo might have missed an opportunity to make some money, but whatever, you know. Can't fault them for that. Yeah, Amiibo. That's right, they're making money from Amiibo. What am I saying?
Yeah. And they're making Splatoon Amiibo, so there's that, too.
Yeah. But, you know, Saltwater Rig, sorry, was definitely wearing a little thin on me after 2 hours.
Yeah.
And, but the fact that they have other stages in there, you know, should kind of help you keep it fresh anyway.
Right. And also, who says that if the series isn't, like, just, I think it's going to be very successful upon release. I mean, to the point where, if I'm mistaken, aren't they actually doing a Splatoon bundle for the Wii U? I think I saw that somewhere, maybe. I don't know, but I do know that I could definitely see this thing going so well that Nintendo evolves on and goes, all right, hey, let's make a sequel or something like that, or you know, let's do more with it. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to put it to a handheld, maybe.
I could see maybe a handheld. I don't know if they'll make a sequel out of Splatoon. I think they'll just continue their trend of supporting it with DLC.
Oh, yeah?
Because, like, everything I played with Splatoon from the demos, like, I kind of wonder where else, what direction could they possibly go with, you know, a bunch of squids shooting paint at each other.
I don't know. Look how far they went with a fat plumber saving a princess from turtles.
Touche.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm not on the creative team of Nintendo, obviously, so.
Looks like I won this battle of wits.
Yeah, but you didn't make any suggestions either. We're just all speculating.
Battle of Quits.
You'll only win when Splatoon 2 is announced.
Oh, trust me, Matt. I shall win.
Okay. That doesn't mean you go out there and start bothering Nintendo of America over and over again. Like I know you've been doing.
Yeah, every day when I bike to work, I'm just going to stop by and just keep badgering him a little bit.
I can't lose this one. You got to make Splatoon 2.
You will not let me live this down.
I don't care if the team who made Splatoon isn't here on this campus. You got to make it. So does anybody else have anything to add about Splatoon, Global Test Fire?
Can't wait for its release. Had a blast with it.
Oh, Tristan, you played the first one, right?
The first
Test Fire?
Yes, because I knew it. A sequel did come out already.
No, no, stop. Did you run into anybody in, like, the white coats that they were saying?
Excuse me?
You don't remember that?
What game are we playing again?
Splatoon. Okay. The Splatoon, when they announced their global test fire, they said the first one they were going to do a Nintendo Treehouse while being, you know, playing the test fire along with everybody else. And they said if you see somebody in a white jacket, that's somebody from the Treehouse playing with
you. Oh, okay. I thought we were talking about, like, a different game. I was scared. No, I didn't. I was too captivated by my surroundings and everything to really pay attention to what my opponents were wearing.
I think they had a big flag on their backs, too.
Yeah. Either way, I was still too, like, worried about the chaos. So, no, I didn't encounter anybody. How about you?
No, but I missed the first one. I played the second, too. I couldn't stay out that late.
Yeah.
I'm getting old, man. I need my sleep.
Yeah, it was a school night, I dig.
No, it wasn't. It was Friday.
Yeah.
That's a school night for for nobody except for maybe graduate students, PhD students.
Yeah, really. But let's face it, poor things have no social life.
Yes. And even then, they probably wouldn't be playing Splatoon.
Yeah.
All right, and James, do you have any more questions for us about Splatoon?
That's about it.
That was actually your cue to vamp while I pulled up a reader question.
No, yeah.
So quick, somebody vamp.
Back me up here, James. Back me up, man. So, what game have you been playing lately, James? Other than Fatherhood.
This is all falling apart.
Pretty much, that's the greatest game of the world.
There, but has that pretty much been what you've been doing lately, aside from work? Is, you know.
Much.
Oh, man.
Right, I hate to interrupt this really incredible work discussion. It's very stellar, but I found the question that I was looking for. Sunny Lise wants to know what our weapon of choice was in Splatoon.
Yeah, splatter shot.
Splatter shot?
Yep.
I'd say during the test fire, it was definitely the roller. Once I figured out the intricacies of hiding under the paint and then coming out at the right time, or activating the roller so the paint flies off and hits somebody in like one
Yeah.
shot. Once I figured that out, I was like, there was no stopping me. And I feel like I won more matches for my team using the splat roller than any other time I was playing.
Yeah, it was nice when going down narrow pathways to where pretty much you just had to go in one straight path.
Yeah, and then of course your special gauge just fills up in seconds.
Yeah, it's true.
Of course, the tables turned if you're on a team with all four splat rollers, in which case that team got steamrolled.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a very it was like an 81-11 victory we had.
Yeah. I think I had a good balance of victories and losses when I played.
I think I did too. I lost more in the beginning, and then as soon as I figured it out more, I started winning more.
Yeah, I did dig that little shuffling cat though.
Judd?
Is that, wait, what's his name?
Judd?
Judd?
Yeah.
That's
He's
cute.
I like the old timey like how his pattern's like the old timey like boxing ref, so he's got
Yeah,
like the old bow tie
he's
and
a little bow
suspenders.
tie. But I just like the little like dance he does and then point, and there's a little point. And I didn't realize his tail actually is narrow as well.
Yeah, I didn't notice that until I saw the bad guys won a match.
Yeah.
Which do you find it odd that everybody's always the bad or you're always the good guys and everybody else is always the bad guys?
I think it's just a deeper message there.
I think it is. Nobody knows who really the bad guy.
Yeah, really.
All right, and I think with that deep philosophical thought lingering in our minds, we're going to go ahead and end this CoopaCast. So I want to thank everybody for listening to our CoopaCast,
Or watching.
or watching. Yes, either way, you don't have to watch. If you need to fold laundry, you can do that and just listen to our melodious voices discuss all the hottest Nintendo topics. But you hear something interesting, and you think, I have a question, but they can't hear me because this is a recording. How do I ask them a question? Well, do I have news for you? You could always email us at podcast@purenintendo.com and ask us a question that you would like, and we will always do our best to answer it online. Or if you want to wait till our next live show, you can do that too. We always have a post days leading up to the CoopaCast that talks about our discussion. You can leave a comment below. We will also answer it then. Or if you have a Twitter account, you can tweet at Pure Nintendo using the hashtag CoopaCast. That is how you can get in contact with us to ask your question that we will answer. Now, without further ado, we will exit away until 2 weeks from now. So, see you all later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.